RBL Weekly back on the air. The season, the regular season, is over, but we have more ground to cover here on the podcast. Today, we will be revealing the four city MVPs that will be representing their hometowns in the playoffs at the end of January. I'm the Roast Battle League Commissioner, Pat Barker, joined by the creator and host of the Roast Battle, Brian Moses.
New studio!
I wasn't even going to talk about it, man. This is so many studios, bro.
Yeah, third week in a row. We're like pirates.
we just go from studio to studio.
Taking over studios, yeah.
Aimlessly.
Yeah, RBL Weekly. Every week we might be in a new studio. We might be in a studio in your hometown. You don't know where we're going to be.
I wish we knew where we were going to be.
Sorry about that, Pat.
It's all good. Yeah. It's all good. This is, of all the studios we've been in, one of the nicest.
Yeah, this is not bad. Sponsored by Culture Pop Soda. It's a probiotic soda. I don't even know if they sponsor this room, but this is really good soda.
I was going to say, don't start doing product placement for shit we're not getting paid for. What are you doing?
It's like a Truman thing show. You didn't know you were Truman on this, Pat, but yeah. We've been following your movements for the last 32 years.
Boy, what a boring show.
Yeah, it really is.
I can't imagine, dude. I thought about that when I saw the movie. I was like, if that was my life, the ratings on that would be terrible.
No, they'd have got fired like 7 years in.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like this kid sucks.
Yeah, dude, I needed new writers like 28 seasons ago.
All this is play softball and choose like Big League Chew.
All right, don't start talking shit about softball. What are you doing?
No, it's just, like, I'm talking about you as a 7-year-old.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me as a 37-year-old.
No, 7-year-old.
Not much has changed.
Yeah.
Let's get into talking about who is going to be at the... And before we even get to that, do you want to... Let's do the reveal. Stop. They got it.
No, I was just going to drink it.
My God. You're insistent upon ad placement for non-sponsors. All right. If we keep talking about the pop culture soda, I'm going to lose my mind. So let's keep it moving right now. Let's talk about the championship. We have teased the reveal. Let's get into it. January 31st.
Hell yeah.
At one of my favorite comedy clubs
in the
country.
Talk about it, Pat. Where are we going, Pat?
You tell them. Where are we going?
We're going to Denver, Colorado, baby.
Denver, Colorado at the Downtown Comedy Works. Anybody who has performed there, any comedian across the country, they always say one of the greatest clubs, if not the greatest,
yeah,
in terms of crowd, audience reaction. It's going to be absolutely perfect.
School shootings, theater shootings, Kobe cases, and now Roast Battle Championships, Denver Nugget Championships, Roast Battle Championships. That's what Denver's all about, and that's where we're going to be January 31st, Comedy Works Downtown, one of the greatest clubs in the world, now hosts one of the greatest competitive sports leagues in the world, the Roast Battle League.
I love it. So excited to go there. So excited to, we did a roast battle there once in like 2018.
Oh, we've done a couple there. We did one.
We were there
the night that a recent president got elected and the day after that. And it was pandemonium, I gotta say.
I missed that one. I've heard stories about how insane that was.
It was incredible.
Yeah. The one I went there for was more uneventful, but maybe the hottest crowd I've ever battled in front of.
Yeah, we started a white power chant, and it probably didn't stop. But it was pretty great.
Well, let's look at the four battlers who will be competing for the first ever RBL World Championship.
Big reveal.
In Denver, January 31st at the Comedy Works. And we're going to start overseas. We're going to start with our international MVPs, and we're going to start in London. And I think we've alluded to this on the last couple podcasts. There was a favorite for MVP. The votes are in. She has won 14-2 this season, 24 RBL weekly points. I'm talking about Shalaka Kurup. Well-deserved. She put up Wilt Chamberlain kind of numbers this season.
Oh, yeah. She's the Giannis. I mean, she's the Wilt. She's the Jordan. Right now, she is the big point getter. She's a monster.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the process of this MVP season, she won the London Knockout Tournament. She also won the Edinburgh Fringe Festival Roast Battle Tournament, which featured battlers from all over the world competing. She's just casually knocking out majors with no problem.
No, you can put her anywhere. She's like a joke. Yeah, she's a joke bucket getter.
Which is why I wanted to watch this battle in particular. We're going to watch battles from each of the four playoff contenders. And I wanted this one for Shalaka because this is the semifinal battle from the Edinburgh Fringe Festival against a New York battler, We know we're going to reveal a New York battler later on in the show. This was against Caroline Haynes.
Okay.
And we featured her on the podcast a while back, but I wanted to revisit it, watch it with you today, and see your reaction to it.
Okay.
So without further ado, let's get into it. Our first playoff battler, Shalaka Kurup. This is earlier in the season, her versus New York's Caroline Haynes. Here it is.
All right, what an honor to be here roasting Velma from Scooby-Doo and no one jerked off to her. I said if no one jerked off to her. I want to make sure you guys got that. Okay. Shalaka seems like a teacher that gives students gold stars for coming out as bisexual. You know that whimsy art teacher that all the weird kids would eat lunch with? Shalaka seems like she got bullied by that teacher. This post-abortion Barbie is Caroline Haynes. Caroline actually outgrew her nut allergy, kind of in the same way that her face outgrew her forehead. We're doing forehead jokes, huh? Caroline's forehead is so big! Caroline's forehead is so big, I can't tell whether her hairline is receding or her five head is recruiting. Just saying, if my face outgrew my forehead, that means I have a small forehead, right? Are we on the same page with that?
Have you ever seen fact checking?
Okay, I'm going to go to bed tonight thinking I have a small forehead. Cool.
No. I should think about that for a second.
Thanks for being here, Shalaka. I know you had to take a night off for drawing in your adult coloring books and knitting yourself a boyfriend. So I appreciate that. Shalaka seems like she had to take her cousin to prom because her other cousin said no. You know that? This diseased cum rag is Caroline Haynes.
She scores so many points with those quick rounds on her.
Episcopalian, which sounds like one of the many STDs she has. She also grew up pole vaulting, which is what manly girls do when they can't become strippers.
Manly girls do.
I could strip. I could. Shalaka gets fetishized a lot, not by guys with Indian fetishes, but by pedophiles who think she's a little boy. Yeah. You know how parents will put like a bow on their baby so people know it's a girl? I think that's what Shalaka's going for with the septum piercing. She's like hoping someone will believe she's not an 8-year-old. She's so small, she almost passes as one of those like nutrient-deprived kids in those like for just 2 pounds a day commercials, you know, if she were skinnier.
It's amazing.
I have never met a food that Caroline couldn't throw up. Caroline once ran a half marathon, which is approximately 13 miles. Approximately 13 can be used to describe a lot of things in Caroline's life, like the number of years she has before she dies of an overdose, or the size of her forehead in feet. God, Shalaka's so annoying. Yeah. Every time she opens her mouth, an angel loses its boner. Yeah. American education sucks, so I don't know a lot about Indian history, but I'm just assuming that the reason the Brits left India was Shalaka's family was so fucking annoying. Right? They were just like, God, fuck this. We don't need spices that badly.
In the words of Caroline's dad, this is Casper the Friendly Whore.
It's very blunt.
Caroline's dad actually left, obviously. You know how they say when you swallow a lot of apple seeds, a little apple tree grows inside of your stomach? Well, Caroline's proof that if you swallow a ton of cum, your dad still doesn't pick up the phone to tell you he loves you. So.
I've never heard that apple soup thing before.
I do swallow. Anyway, let's wrap this up. I think Shalaka has a Harry Potter trivia night to get to or something.
I'm just saying, in the right room, I do swallow. That ends the battle.
Yeah. In the right room.
Yeah, over in Edinburgh. They're like, where's the craftsmanship in that joke?
Yeah, they're like, that's not a joke. That's just awesome.
Yeah, you say that in Austin, you shut the fucking room down,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
That's how you win a battle.
Yeah.
You guys should all follow Shalaka on Instagram. She's going to be really big someday if she just keeps eating her vegetables. Seriously, though. Seriously, though, follow her. She's already got a great career. You can see her on every university brochure in the country.
I first met Caroline when she was hunting for truffles in the forest. Caroline snores, which is inevitable when your nose is so far down your face, it's basically a snout. Oink, oink, bitch.
Oink, oink, bitch. That's a good way to close a battle. This is, so this was in the midst of, just to put things in proper perspective, you know, they're both over in Edinburgh, not to be in this tournament, but to run their, like, one-person show, which is
right.
Everybody I've talked to who's done Edinburgh, including Rose Battle alumnus Robin Tran, Fifi Dosh, a lot of people, they talk about how daunting the whole thing is. You do, like, 30 shows in 30 days, every day, nonstop, running an hour. And it's like in the middle of that, do this roast battle tournament. Oh, by the way, over here in Scotland, we do like 4 or 5 jokes per turn. Can you just, you know, write 15 to 20 jokes once a week on top of what you're doing? It's a daunting task to begin with. But then like she's so crazy with like those quick little openers that like always seem to hit. And then like the 2 and 3 tiered punchlines.
She has she's a textbook for roasting and the culture that is roasting. She opens, like she cold opens, if you're like writing a script, right? You're writing a cold open. She cold opens with like a quick quip, right?
Yeah.
And then she goes into her bit of just like, all right, this is about you, this is about you, this is about you, with like 3 of those jokes. And then there's like a closer on top of that of just like, and in conclusion, you're a whore.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, there's a whole, she's writing a book. Every joke she's doing, I guess, because they have that 4-bit structure, I guess, in Scotland, right? Which mm-hmm. is like, it's a joke, but there's like 4 or 5 bits inside of the joke.
She's also very good at, and I think this could come in handy, because without spoiling who she's going to be battling and then potentially battling in the finals, there's a couple of people who are nondescript visually. She's very good at like finding angles. Like going into that battle, I was like, oh, Caroline is an attractive woman. And coming out of it, I'm like, the manly, 5-headed, nose too far down the face lady? What was I thinking?
Yeah, what were you thinking?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Coming into it, I was like, yeah, it's, you know, she's attractive.
Right.
And then Shalaka just assassinated her entire, physical being. And I was like, oh, maybe not. Maybe
no,
I was wrong.
It felt like Mean Girls in the beginning. You're just like, oh, shoot, okay. And then at the end, it felt like, oh, an all-girl reboot of Harry Potter. And, like, Carolyn became Draco Malfoy. You know what I mean?
Never seen the movie.
Pat.
I trust you, though. Dude, I gotta get out of here.
I
miss out on so many, like, Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter punchlines. I just, like, if the crowd goes nuts, I'm like, I assume that was a solid reference.
You know what? As a commissioner, you should, you have to brush up on your references.
I should, yeah.
You should know these things, yeah. I just watched it, like, last week, so that's why.
Really?
That's why I have this reference.
You just had a
ready to go. I was
a
like,
free 35
I was looking
hours.
For it. I was like, what does this look like to me? Because the Velma Scooby-Doo thing I saw, like, right off top.
Sure.
But you shouldn't always go with your first thought, right? Even, mm-hmm. like, in writing stand-up, you shouldn't, like, go with your first thought. Like, I think Lil Wayne has, like, a... it's like a rules of like how to become a better rapper. And one of his things is never write what's like your first thought.
Yeah.
Write your 30th thought. You know, that kind
of thing.
That's
how you get real G's moving silence like lasagna. There's no way that was a first draft.
No, by the way, I've seen like, you know, Hinchcliffe's like, you know, 98th joke to like his like 13th joke compared. Like I've seen your like 90th joke compared to like your 12th joke. You know what I mean? So like, of course, you know, you're like, all right, I'm at 30 now. I'll work with this, you know.
when I used to write like 60 jokes for a 5-joke battle, it was like the first 3 were fire and the last 3 were fire. And everything in the middle was kind of like various levels of garbage.
Right. It's all subjective. aspect of just like, oh, do you like this? Like somebody would love it. And somebody would be like, oh, how'd you write that?
Exactly. And these guys are going to have to write a lot, by the way. That's one thing that we're doing this all in one night. So they have to prepare for three potential opponents. And that Scottish style of like doing four or five jokes, I'm not going to micromanage anybody. You can come in, do whatever. But I think you're making your life way more difficult if you're trying to like quadruple punch on every joke and you have to write for three people and memorize, by the way.
Right. And memorize.
It's a lot.
That part.
It's a lot. But if anybody can do it, it's going to be this next guy because he is representing Scotland. The MVP of the Scottish scene, if you've been following the podcast, this probably doesn't come as a huge surprise. He has posted incredible battles all season, 20 RBL points across five total battles.
That's it.
Five battles every one. They average 4 points per battle.
It's like Goldberg.
It's those numbers are absolutely insane. The most consistent performer out of Scotland, always amazed by his joke writing. I'm talking about Ryan Cullen.
Hey,
Ryan will be going up against Shalaka Kurup on January 31st at the Comedy Works in Denver. And, if you've seen the podcast, you've probably seen him, but if not, let's run back one of his previous battles. And I did not, Jesse, who's the opponent here? Who do we have here? Chris Thorburn. This is one of my favorites that we featured this earlier in the season. And I really, really like this one. I'm excited to watch this one back. It is Chris Thorburn. Apologies for forgetting that. Against the Scotland MVP, Ryan Cullen. Here it is.
Well, do you want to go first?
Sure, I can go first. Yeah, fuck, let's do it. Ryan is what's known in the industry as a one-liner comedian because that's how much cocaine it would take to kill him. Ryan suffers from baldness, lung problems, visual impairment, and no immune system. He's what they call in the medical industry a double negative, because this is what happens when an abortion gets aborted.
I love Ryan's defense. Nobody laughs at their opponents.
Oh, Christ. Chris, you look like you're responsible for 80% of the murders in a game of Cluedo.
I'm assuming that's the European version of Clue.
Chris is what you'd get if you stretched smoked salmon over Freddie Mercury's skeleton.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's a 30th draft. Yeah.
That's great, though.
So good.
Freddie Mercury in retrograde. Chris models himself on Freddie Mercury, mostly by dying horrifically. Chris used to be a massive fan of Woody Allen, you know, even drew inspiration from him. But of course that all changed, you know, when he found out he was just a movie director. Yeah, Chris is literally the worst ever case of a paedophile hiding in plain sight. Yeah, he looks like he's sponsored by Speedos. I don't know how he manages to look like both a virgin and a porn star at the same time. Oh, fuck. Yeah, I'm done now.
It's like seven jokes.
Oh, fuck.
So one time at Sydney Airport, Ryan was genuinely called in for questioning for sex trafficking. But they let him go because they couldn't figure out a fucking word he was saying. Ryan grew up on the Irish border. Ryan is basically what if the Banshees of Inisherin had even less friends?
Oh, God. It's nice of you to take time off being on the side of Pringles cans to be here.
Spot on.
Chris takes medication for anxiety, which is obviously a surprise to no one. Chris works for like a craft brewery, which, you know, comes as a surprise to nobody. And he's also a comedian, which does come to a surprise to everybody. Chris actually lost his virginity. When he lost his virginity, he ruined it by saying okie dokie. during it, right? Was that right after your dad was like, let's not tell mum about this? No, when Chris actually lost his virginity, he was dressed as Sean from Shaun of the Dead. Call him Simon Pegged. Oh, fuck.
Pause this 1 second. I just want to say they share so much more information in Scotland than I'm comfortable with.
Right.
Nobody will ever know what I said the first time I had sex. I don't even know what it is. The fact that they, yeah.
That's an interview question over like coffee. You'd be like, hey, so like, tell me about yourself. Well, I said okie dokie during my first sexual encounter.
I would open with that.
Yeah.
If I had something that interesting, fuck yeah.
So Ryan recently failed his driving test because he kept asking again. Questions like, right, so where do I put the bomb?
That's a fucking great Irish
joke. That's not true. It's because he kept calling himself Belfast and the Furious. Generally, Ryan, you look like if Vin Diesel was called that because he kept drinking petrol.
Oh, fuck it up. Chris, you look like you're operating on 80% recommended skin. It was a weird one. Chris, your forehead's so big that you could, on it you could fit all the N-words Alfie Brown would put on a 3-minute set.
Like Harry Potter, I assume that joke's great based on the reaction. Yeah.
Chris, you put the man in menstruate. And your teeth are so wonky, they remind me of the support beams underneath Hazel Stadium.
I'm going to be Googling Denver landmarks.
Ryan actually lives in Daniel Sloss's basement. It's true. In a glass terrarium with all the mice he can eat.
Oh, that's so good.
But generally, like, what's it like squatting in a rich guy's basement? Like, you're basically like if they remade Parasite with an all-white supremacist cast.
Oh, God. Hey, did you forget your top hat, Monopoly Man? I do believe Chris was actually born in the wrong era, you know, probably during the AIDS epidemic in the 80s. Yeah. Despite suffering from anorexia in school, Chris ended up being a real top student, you know. He couldn't keep the books down or a meal. Chris and his wife Lynn had a horror-themed wedding, which is fitting because I've never seen a woman try to escape the ring so much.
That's really good.
No, in fairness, it was horror that did bring them together. That was like, what, 11 years now since she crawled out of the fucking television? Is she here tonight?
No.
Good.
So several of Ryan's close friends have been rightfully cancelled. A real who's who of Me Too.
It's been so bad.
Genuinely, the contacts on Ryan's phone are like listed as Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. While Ryan is listed in his friend's phone as He Who Shall Not Be Named for legal reasons. You know, because you look like if Voldemort's wand was a pipe bomb.
Oh, fucking hell. Chris is the only man the village people have ever looked at and went, a bit much, mate. Chris, you were once involved in a play involving full nudity, yeah? That was the last school play I was ever allowed to direct. Look, I get it. It's a lot of pedo jokes. But I don't know how much more proof you need, along with the whole Woody Allen fan, the mustache, the dress sense, the fact that you used to work for the BBC. You're also, and if I'm right here, you also work, used to work for a children's entertainment company.
Yeah.
Like, despite the whole soft boy, fake feminist bullshit, you actually used to dress up as Batman. The film wasn't called The White Knight Rises. He used to dress up as Batman for kids' parties, but since the incident, he now is only allowed to dress up as Batman no less than 50 feet from kids' parties. Chris, the only thing you have in common with Bruce Wayne is the fact that because you're from Airdrie, there's a good chance that your parents might die in an alleyway as well. I'm done.
That's
us done. That's us.
Cohen.
That's a bad motherfucker right there.
Five battles.
What's that?
Five battles. That's
in the,
it.
In the, yeah.
In
five.
The season. Yeah. Yep.
Scotland, of all the playoff cities, Scotland ran so significantly fewer battles than any other one. LA, New York, and London were all in the 150 to 170 range. Scotland had 37 battles.
That's it.
And managed to maximize that into a playoff spot.
Yeah, I mean, like, that was a really good battle.
Yeah.
That guy Chris is really nice.
He's everybody in Scotland is really nice.
Yeah.
The level of competition over there is, I have not gotten one Scotland battle the entire season where I was like, this is bad.
Okay.
I've gotten them from every other city. Because that's just, you know, you would think that every now and then you're going to have a miss. They never miss.
Really?
It's so good, man. And they're always doing all those jokes. And they're always pasty white people, so they can't even do, like, appearance jokes so much.
Right.
It's like they're just amazing writers. And Cullen, in my opinion, was the best of the season by far. In a city where everybody's good.
Yeah. I mean, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Chris has this, like straight Mateo Lane, handsome Harlan Williams thing about him. You know what I mean? Like, but he's really smart and quick. It's like, I don't know if you know the comic Matt O'Brien, but he's got that kind of like silliness and kind of like joke writing to him. It's fun.
I do. Yeah. And I think that's I mean, everything about him, just visually, the kid in play haircut with the Reno 911 downstairs. Yeah. I mean,
Roger from Doug. You know,
oh, that's
the
good.
Nose. Yeah.
Yeah. Live action Roger Klotz.
Yes, Roger Klotz.
I mean, they're both great. And one thing I love about Scotland, everybody has so much fun over there.
Like,
they
see.
Genuinely enjoy it. You could feel like sort of the camaraderie. And I refer to it as defense with Cullen. I don't think it's like intentional. I think he's just having so much fun that it like really elevates the battle and makes it so the crowd wants to like root for both of them.
Yeah, it does feel like you're watching a couple friends. You're just like, these guys, like you're like drinking. You're like, these guys are talking trash about each other.
Yeah.
It must be like best man and groom or whatever. It felt like it has that kind of feel to it. So I think Cullen's going to give Shalaka, because she comes in real stone-faced and killer-like. She's really unassuming, right? It's this, it's that, remember Men in Black where Will Smith only shoots the little girl? Right?
She's got
that. Just like, what is this little girl doing here at 2 a.m. with all these like monsters, robbers, and criminals? You know what I mean?
That's a great comparison. Yeah,
that's Shalaka. And then, Ryan just looks like a ferret. So,
yeah.
Yeah, in Dale's Lost's basement. That was such a, you talk about the essence of somebody, like you like to say.
Do you know Daniel Sloss?
Daniel Sloss battled in season one of Roast Battle UK.
Okay, so we have done 34 of these episodes. We've seen five Ryan Cullen battles and other Scottish ones. Daniel Sloss is mentioned in every battle in
He's
Scotland.
Huge. Yeah.
I was unfamiliar with him.
He's like the Jimmy Carr of Scotland.
Really?
He's huge.
Wow.
And he's had a couple of Netflix specials and HBO specials, actually. So, yeah, he's big over there, but he's like young. He's like our age.
I'm probably the only guy who knows him strictly as the guy who gets mentioned in every roast battle. Yeah. I didn't know any of his other work.
Yeah, he battled, I should know this girl's name, but he had a, he had that Mike Lawrence style of just like, thank you, yada, yada, yada. His was, thank you, Martin Burger King.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So he was like the first guy I heard like say something like that. But he has this real, just like, you could tell he's real particular and real solid, like when it comes to writing jokes, and he can be real personable. He's a five tool player. He's really good.
Yeah.
Daniel Sloss.
I'm not going to ask you to pick a winner because I think it would be unbecoming of us and given our positions of authority. But if you had to If you had to pick the one thing that you feel like is going to make a difference in the Shalaka versus Ryan battle, give me one X factor that people might not be thinking of that you think could play a part in this battle.
They're very similar, right? They're kind of deadpan. Like Ryan's got that that one-liner thing about him, like Chris was saying, and Shalaka's got that really unassuming quality about her, but she can do any style. She can do long form. She can do quick one-liners. The one thing that might separate them, without picking a winner, it will be, I think, how much fun are they having on stage? I think that that matters a lot in America.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think it's if Shalaka doesn't look like she's having a good time, or if Ryan looks a little too stone-faced, even with his kind of like, you know, brushing it off kind of like, you know, thing he does, it just depends on who looks like they're having the most fun.
I was going to say the references, because I agree with that, but also, like, you know, Ryan had a lot of, like, references that just don't, I think, play quite as well here. I'm assuming he'll adapt his style. They're coming over. I mean, that's a thing. Like, when I went and battled in Tokyo, I wrote to the environment. I had a lot of, like, references based on, like, Tokyo kind of stuff. Do you do that? Do you just, you know, do you say, I'm not going to do the references I know won't work? Or do you say, I'm going to try to come up with some Denver-specific shit, some U.S. shit? Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I remember, man, this is some inside baseball. I remember when we did Just for Laughs that first year, right? We called it the Roastmasters Invitational that Jeff had. This was before it was on Roast, for Roast Battle was on television. And it was our first year Just for Laughs in Montreal. And Jimmy Carr had gotten to the finals versus Matthew Broussard.
Yeah.
And he was talking to Louis C.K. And this is Louis C.K. pre-Me Too.
Sure.
So he's like the biggest thing on earth. And like we were all tripping. We're just like, wait, what? Louis helping you write jokes, you know? And it was that thing of Louis kept telling like Jimmy, like, be careful of references just because you may miss. When you miss, you know, like it's a long time to get that reaction back.
Yeah.
If you missed that that reference. So, but I know, like, you know, when you're doing stand up, you like to go to a new city, like, oh, hey, like, what's the gay neighborhood? What's the black neighborhood? You know, like, what's the this? What's that kind of a thing, you know? Where these people reside, where those people reside. So, I think it's kind of like second nature as a comic to be like, this reference, like, what's happening over here in Denver? But I think you're right. Maybe stay away just because you don't want to miss.
I will say this. Having been to Tokyo, it's way harder to find the gay and black neighborhoods there than you would think. I looked all over. I didn't see either.
Yeah. They like the culture. They don't like the people.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. We'll like it from a distance.
Yeah. We'll take everything you are, but we don't want that in our neighborhoods.
Right. We'll leave that in L.A.
Yeah.
Speaking of L.A., let's move on and find out who will be representing Los Angeles over in Denver on January 31st at the Comedy Works. He went 8-0 this season. He racked up 16 RBL points, and he is, by virtue of a tiebreaker, which we'll talk about momentarily, the LA MVP. He's going to be battling in Denver on the 31st.
The champ,
the current Los Angeles champion who recently won the title, capping off that undefeated season. I'm talking about Ryan Nesson. We're going to revisit right now his battle with the woman he beat in said tiebreaker for the MVP, Paige Wesley.
Oh, wow.
Here it is from the Belly Room, Ryan Nesson, Paige Wesley. Let's check it out.
Big Ryan Nesson, let's roast!
This human tap out shirt is Ryan Nesson. Ryan is 70% Jewish. It used to be 100, but you know how they love a discount.
Guys, keep it going for Paige. She took time away from saying wee all the way home to be here tonight. Paige doesn't do hard drugs, but she does smoke a ton of joints, mostly her knees and ankles.
Wow.
It's true. I'm fat. Your people starved in the desert for 40 days, and I ate desserts for 40 days, guys. Let's go. Ryan got a DUI 2 weeks after his dad died. Weirdest inheritance ever.
Guys, let's keep it going for Adele Taco. Paige was in a sorority that did bikini car washes for charity. They raised a ton of money, but unfortunately, it all went to repair the hoods she damaged.
Hey, it's about the quantity of skin, not the quality, you guys. Ryan's been on Zoloft for years, and one of the side effects is ejaculation failure, which is convenient, because that was the nickname his parents gave him, too.
Nice.
Could you imagine your parents calling you
that? More
time for Fupa-da-Beppo.
You're welcome, Ross from Friends, if one of his chromosomes was on a break.
Rest in peace.
Fun fact, Paige likes to knit a lot of her own outfits for holiday parties, which seems like a waste. She's already an ugly sweater.
His wordplay is really, really good.
It's true, nice. I'm fat, but you look like a police sketch and the cop who drew it.
He does look like that.
He does look
that's,
like
that's
that.
That's a fact.
Ryan and his wife got married in Mexico because she's used to disappointments south of the border.
Paige, I love your outfit tonight. I didn't know they made a diabetes quilt.
That's my favorite one. That's so good.
It's been there the whole time.
Yeah, it took 40 battles for somebody to hit that on Paige.
Even my fingers working before they fall off.
Paige told me she hates death metal, which is what she calls it when she sits in a folding chair.
Oh, man.
That's true. I am fat. You look like you were circumcised with a switchblade.
It's a butterfly knife.
Doesn't Ryan look like he wants a barbed wire tattoo?
Yep. Yes, he does.
Guys. Ryan's dad died of stomach cancer. And I know just by bringing it up, he's going to say something about how I'm so fat I would eat a tumor, or how I know what it's like for my belly to slowly kill me. Basically implying that I am the stomach cancer. But here's what I have to say.
Such a weird angle.
Fuck him and his dead dad, right?
That part's solid.
Ryan's dad lost his battle to cancer like Ryan's gonna lose this battle to this swollen belly.
It's tough to lose.
Mm-hmm. Too far is how you order desserts, right?
I am bad at portion control, that's true.
Paige is a baseball fan from the Bay, which is why her tits are A's and she's a giant.
I was gonna say, Brian, did you lose count or do you just want to hear more?
Classic Moses not knowing how many jokes we've done.
I mean, it's the rebuttals that kill
me. Yeah. Ryan's just a really good writer, man. Just a really good at finding the angle he wants and finding the most effective and simple yet complex way to kind of like land it. Really good word economy. All the references are relatable. He's just really good, man.
He kind of, like Shalaka, he kind of has that textbook of just what you want going into a battle, just like all the tools, all the skills you want to be prepared. And he has all those. He has the rebuttals. He has great reference angles. Misdirects. Like when I was watching that fight, it reminded me of like watching a UFC fight. Just like sometimes you see like solid hits, you're like, oh, that's a good one. You get a point for that.
Yeah.
But then when you see like a, oh, he's going down, you're like, that's that thing. You know, like, they both had those moments of just like, oh, that could be it. Oh, that could be it. And they both kept coming back, but they both had solid shots in the middle too to kind of keep you like, okay, well, they have like, they don't have to be home runs all the time. They have like singles, triples, you know, like whatever the heck it is. Like they just have like really solid jokes all around. That was a hell of a fight. And I forgot that he and Paige battled this year.
Yeah.
And that would actually make it a tiebreaker because, yeah, Paige was my MVP going in and I forgot that they battled it. Mm-hmm. So that would make sense. And he beat her. So, yeah. I mean, like that was great.
And that ended up being, just for the record, so we're always transparent about these things, that was the first tiebreaker head to head. And then the second one was we did a separate poll for MVP of the entire league with some different voters than we had individually in each scene. whoever ranked higher on that poll. That would have been if they hadn't battled head-to-head. Ryan ended up taking both of those tiebreakers. Apologies for the spoiler on the second one. I mean, his season, dude, 8-0.
8-0. Yeah, he knocked it out of the park this year.
It's crazy in 8 months. Every battle was solid, and the strength of schedule was really good. He doesn't battle anybody easy.
I mean, yeah, Paige.
Paige is, you know.
Sarah Fatimi. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And from talking to Paige, you know, she was, there was a point, I would say, about a year and a half ago where Nesson was really good in terms of record. But he was not a fun battle. I think we all kind of, we talk internally about like, oh, are you going to battle this person or that person? And Paige was always kind of like, I don't know about Nesson. Like, he's good, but it just seems like not fun, or it seems boring.
Right, right.
And then somewhere along the line, something clicked in him where she was like, I want to battle that guy because he figured out who he is on stage. Paige is really good at picking up on shit like that.
Right.
And she, I remember her being like, he figured it out, he turned a corner, and now I want to battle him. And she was right on about him turning a corner because he put it into overdrive this year.
Yeah, he was, I think, and I know exactly what she's talking about. He had this thing where it was like, people kept calling him a meathead, and he's like, no, I'm a comic, I'm really good like this. And now he's like, oh no, like, he tours with meatheads.
Yeah.
He's a meathead. You know what I mean? So it's like, he's leaning into it now. It's like, he's having more fun because he knows who he is. So it's like, when he knows the offense, he's not thinking about it. Now it's just playing in the offense.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's actually a really good call. And like, that's one of the worst things battlers can do,
mm-hmm.
is like sort of fact check those jokes internally and be like, but I'm not this thing.
Yeah.
You are whatever the other person says you are if it makes the crowd laugh.
Yeah.
In that first battle, I watched Caroline call Shalaka fat.
Right.
It worked. Because in roast battle, if you are 8% body fat, you should be 4, you fat piece of shit.
If you're fatter than your opponent, you're fat.
Yeah, exactly.
That's point blank.
That's it. Yeah. That's all it boils down to. That being said, also as a fat person who has fluctuated, gone up and down, the Ryan's jokes hurt my soul about like smoking the joints.
Oh, such a good one.
I've been there where like I go for a mile walk and my ankles are like, we will never recover from what just happened. You know, the death metal on the chair. I've fucked up a folding chair or a lawn chair in my day. You know, very relatable, very hurtful, and very funny.
Diabetes quilt.
Bro.
Diabetes quilt is great.
Diabetes quilt,
come on,
is
been there the whole time.
Insane, yeah. Because she always comes. Paige designs her own clothes.
Yeah,
you know, and she always comes wearing something like outrageous and outlandish. He's the first person to like hit her on that.
Yeah, we always say AIDS quilt, but diabetes quilt, man, that's really good. Yeah. High blood pressure quilt doesn't work as well.
Chef's kiss.
Heart disease quilt.
Yeah, no, diabetes, but the word choice, impeccable, everything about it.
Yeah, he's great. Been in the zone. 8-0 this year, we got to give it to you, and we did, so that's why you're going to Denver.
The champ, and he will be facing another champ.
Who?
From New York. And this was, I think, in my opinion, this was the toughest MVP vote.
Because I'll agree.
Nobody from New York put up 20 points in RBL Weekly. They maxed out at 10. Nobody from New York had an 8-0 season. Nobody from New York really was the guy.
Right.
I think Shalaka all season, we were like, that's the guy. And Ryan Cullen, that's the... And in LA, it's like, well, it's Ryan or Paige.
Right.
And then New York is like, there were a bunch of names that I thought you could make a case for. And, you know, we had a handful of people fill out ballots, and it was very, very close. But the winner was voted as the guy who is the current New York champion and who had the number one battle last week, which got New York into the playoffs. Perhaps some recency bias there. I mean, that's natural. Like, it makes sense.
A little bit.
Yeah, but on the last day of the season, he posts the number one battle, gets New York into the playoffs. I'm talking about John Ajota, the current champion. He is going to be in a champion versus champion match against Ryan Nesson on January 31st at the Comedy Works in downtown Denver, two champions trying to compete for the ultimate championship, the first ever RBL World Championship. We're going to go back and watch a 3-round battle of his from earlier this season. This is against Joshua Lampley from the New York Comedy Club. Here it is.
All right, y'all. I know what you're thinking. John may seem like a virgin, but I know that's not true, okay? You don't win the Scripps National Spelling Bee 25 straight years and not get some pussy. Come on now. My boy's drowning in spelling bee puss. Hey, baby, what's your country of origin? Sorry.
It's a good spelling bee, Ryan.
So to be totally upfront with you guys, last time we roasted, Joshua beat me. So beforehand, we decided to have a little wager. If I win this time, I get to fuck his sister. And if Joshua wins, he gets to watch.
That's a way to win the crowd over. That's a good immediately.
You hear that, judges? Y'all better pick him. Come on. Let's go. John's mom is Italian, which means she's fat.
They're a large people.
But she also married a brown man, which means she's really fat, you guys. She's fucking huge.
Hear the booze.
You're not going to be able to TikTok dance your way out of this one. No, Josh runs a waffle-themed comedy show. He's quirky, but he runs it with his girlfriend, his high school sweetheart. She's going to be a sophomore this year.
That DiCaprio mindset, y'all. Don't hate. Come on. All right, guys, this is true. John hasn't seen his Indian dad since he was 17, which is crazy because I think he Ubered me here tonight, dude. I could have told him to wait outside.
I like how, pause this real quick. I like how in New York, the Uber drivers are still Indian people, and out here, it's just all failed comedians.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just all guys who look like me.
I'm like, what? The whole crowd goes wild. I'm just like, really?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just a taxi out there.
In New York, that yellow cab shit still flies. Would not play here.
I tipped him more. I had no idea. Woo!
He's not an Uber driver. He was a plane driver. Second tower, maybe. Second tower. But,
own that shit.
The pride.
He's not technically a pilot, but
shots fired.
Anyway. Speaking of which, doesn't Josh look like Jesus? But instead of having 12 disciples delivering the word of God, he has 12 men delivering their cum into his mouth.
First round, three-round battle.
That was the classic New York one.
Oh, yeah. A Jota with a couple monster punches up top. 12 guys come in the mouth.
Yeah, Nico White in the house.
First two were fired up.
See, it's a lot harder to win a roast battle when all your friends aren't in the front row, right? But Josh has a Big Surfer vibes, right? Serving the web for child pornography. Oh, hang 10, dude, hang 10. Okay, Josh is from the South, so hanging 10 doesn't refer to surfing. It was. You're gonna love this next part. It was his target number for the lynchings. But, I don't know. He did it, not me. But hey, Josh, are you from Tennessee? Because the only 10 I see is the age of that girl you're Snapchatting. But Josh has Josh is in an interracial relationship. But he still maintains his traditional Southern values. All right, he did not have sex with her until after he bought her. But yeah, Josh grew up Catholic in rural Tennessee, so the only thing more segregated than the races were his ass cheeks by the priest.
I mean, that was a real basket weave of everything.
Yeah, it all kind of tied together. And then a superfluous, you're gay at the end.
Yeah, you're racist, right. You're a pedophile, and you're gay.
All South shit, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hate when other comics say that John is on the spectrum. Because he's not, okay? He's in the spectrum. Call center, the spectrum call center. Look, guys, look, I would never accuse anyone of child pornography, okay? But I bet John has every nude his friends received in high school saved on his phone. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Come on now. Yeah, should I have done the catchphrase? That's it. John looks like he works glaze duty at the Dunkin' Donuts glory hole. Thank you. Come again. Thank you. Come again. Okay. This is a fun fact. John can actually bend his fingers all the way back against his own hand. He learned that trick so that he could finger multiple children at once. Show him, yeah.
No, don't. I don't want to see this. I think he actually does it. We get squeamish.
Yeah.
Nasty. I can't do it now.
Sorry to interrupt. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that helped. That helped.
Might as well be Joe Theismann as far as I'm concerned.
For my references.
We lost the judge, I think.
Yeah.
We're down to three.
It's pandemonium off stage right now. I don't know what's happening.
All
right.
John is Indian. John is Indian, so he grew up watching cricket, and now he performs comedy to them every night of the week. So that's full circle. Full circle.
Cricket's joke hit way harder than I would have expected.
Yeah, I saw it coming.
Yeah. I got a Joda up 2-0 at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, I will admit, John is somewhat autistic, which is why he's such a great roaster, as you can see. He's actually the roast champion of New York right now, which is pretty badass burgers. Yeah, that's really badass burgers. All right.
Josh is fun, man.
He is. He's
pushed us to a third round for that shit.
Yeah.
I like it.
This guy's got a boardwalk to defend. Okay. But, Josh is a, I'm half Indian, Josh is a quarter Cuban, actually. We're both pretty racially ambiguous, except when women describe me, it's usually not through tears to a campus security officer.
Campus security officer is so much better than police officer. Crazy.
John kind of looks like he roofies women's goblets at D&D games.
He's smiling because he knows.
Her awareness is down 100 XP. I'm going to attack. Yeah.
It's called a sleeping potion. Josh is a good-looking guy. He's actually a model. You might recognize him from that ad for the brochure as the before picture for the gay conversion therapy.
You want to try that one again? Or yeah. All right.
It actually went over really well. But.
All right, guys. Is it just me, or does John look like he's really good at coding men's faces and cum? You know? No? Okay.
The moral compass of this audience is insane.
I know, it's all
right?
Over the place.
It really is.
What do you guys stand for?
Yeah. Absolutely nothing, dude.
But Josh is like, he reminds me of a pinata. You know, he's Hispanic, he's a lot of fun at parties, and he's usually getting beat off by a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Touché.
I also give him a Snickers after, too. I don't know. John is actually a very talented sketch artist. He specifically likes to draw women into his van where he abducts them.
the nervous kind of like chuckles after.
That's her, but... Josh looks like Jason Momoa with AIDS. Everybody give it up for Sucks Cockwoman. Talking to fish is what he calls eating his girlfriend's pussy.
This is actually true. John once got an STD from an Egyptian woman. I bet her pussy Sphinx, bro.
That's the perfect Josh Lampley joke. Yep. That's a work of art.
Yep. That's perfect sense.
Sphinx, bro.
I bet her pussy Sphinx.
Oh, man. Josh is what we in show business call a triple threat. A rapist, a pedophile, and most worst of all, he sucks at comedy.
Alright. Yeah. Now here's the summary statement. He is a racist, a pedophile, and he sucks at comedy. The thing that strikes me most about Ajota is how comfortable he is on stage. We saw him battle down in Austin at the Vulcan against the great Nick Roche. Mm-hmm. Rest in peace. We've seen a lot of his battles. We saw last week against Rob Rigo, where he opened by going into a minute-long thing about Rob tried to contact my girlfriend and my sister to get info on me. We saw him against Lucas Arnold earlier this season, excuse me, with a long joke about how Lucas is a content creator.
Right.
And he, in both of those long jokes, had the crowd hanging on every word and delivered like a killer punchline to just end the battle. It was like the first or second joke each time, and it was over.
Yeah.
The second he landed that punch, we've seen so many people who are like, you know, the typical roast battle recipe for success is word efficiency, short, quick jokes. But John does something different, and he has the crowd hanging on every word. That's really impressive to me.
He's got Connor McSpadden, college football Heisman moments. You know what I mean? Like, he is... You remember, like, you're talking about the most memorable things we've seen this season, right? The Lucas Arnold, you know, the big poem, and then the Rob Rigo, the beginning of that. I mean, like, what he's doing to Josh, basically, which is just textbook of, all right, you're a straight white guy. Got it. You're a racist, you're a pedophile, and you're probably closeted.
Right.
So it's like, he's just, I can appreciate this guy because he comes with big, strong punchlines, or he can play within the box.
But he also had, and I'll say this, they're doing, you know, 13 jokes in this battle. They're going to be doing 5 in Denver.
Yeah.
I think his best stuff against Josh was the non-typical white guy, you're a racist, you're a pedophile, whatever. He's going up against another guy who stylistically, in terms of like writing for an opponent, mm-hmm. similar. He's going to be going against Ryan Nesson.
Yeah.
I think if he goes in and he overdoes the, doesn't Ryan look like he's secretly gay? Doesn't Ryan look like he fucks kids? Ryan is too good of a writer to win with that.
And he's heard all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm excited to see where both of them, as writers that I really admire, where they take it to the next level in terms of angles on the other person.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan does when he, you know, because Ryan is kind of a default character, I guess, you know, when it comes to like roasting somebody, because he doesn't really have a lot of big characteristics to like play with, you know. With the Ajota, he's got the diversity, and he's kind of a robot, and he's a little bit, you know, on the spectrum. So it's like, those are three big targets you can already play with off top, right? With Ryan, it's like, I guess you're Jewish. Yeah. Right? You're good looking. Your wife is good looking. I mean, like, I guess you're just kind of a failure at everything else.
But also, he, Ajota, and this is one reason why his battle with Nick down in Austin was incredible, because they are both really good at capturing who a person is, the essence, as we say.
Yeah.
He's a really good essence writer when he wants to be, and I think he will be really good at figuring out. We saw it a little bit with Paige, where doesn't he look like he wants a barbed wire tattoo?
I mean,
like that kind of shit.
So good, Paige.
I think John will be really good at sort of like finding those,
right?
And you know, that's, they're both champions for a reason. They're both here in the final four battlers in a season where we had over 1,000. We're down to 4. At this point, it's only the best of the best. And to me, it's going to be who finds those little angles beyond the pale, beyond just the regular. Because I also don't think Ryan's going to go in and just do 5 Indian jokes. I think it would be a bad move if he did.
Correct. Right. I mean, honestly, just to sum that up, I mean, you're talking about over thousands of battlers, right? Down to the last 4 to say, like, you are the best roast writer of 2023.
It's insane.
I mean, like, that's huge, man. And honestly, I think you did. We whittled it down to the best 4 I think I've seen this year, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, even, like, I thought Paige, but I forgot that Ryan and Paige battled, and he came out on top, and he was a better writer. And, like, honestly, it's gonna be fun to see if Ryan can keep that streak going of 8-0 right now.
It's also, it's fun for me to see. This show was started and originally billed as the Joke Writer Showcase. It's what made me fall in love with it as somebody who loves to write jokes. Over the years, there's more theatrical elements to it sometimes, from the Alex Hoopers to the Digits to the Casey Rockets to
Jamars, the Earls.
Yeah,
right.
Personality has become a really big part of it. But when it boils, when we get down to the nitty gritty, 1,000 plus battlers, and now we're down to 4, what do they all have in common?
The jokes, man.
The writing. They're all incredible writers. And that's what I'm excited to see.
Yeah.
Not that there's not a place for the other stuff. Not that I don't love watching
Digits
battle.
Joke writing travels.
Joke writing translates from country to country, from city to city, from continent to continent. And on January 31st, it'll be on full display at the Comedy Works in Denver. These are 4 of the best joke writers on earth. I couldn't be more excited with who is going to be in this thing.
The Brits versus the Scots, LA versus New York. You wouldn't want it any other way.
Exactly. US, US, UK, UK. And then the 2 winners will face off. We will crown a world champion. I can't wait, man. I'm excited. Do you have any closing thoughts on this, or what do you think?
Come out to Denver, man. January 31st. It's a Wednesday. It's exciting. Think of it as the Super Bowl of roasting. I mean, like, it gets no better than this right here. We have all the styles. These are the 4 best joke writers of this season, 2023, our inaugural season.
Yeah.
And, yeah, this will gear you up for next season, too. But really, these are the biggest 4. I'm excited.
Yeah, you and me both. I can't wait. Next couple weeks, We're gonna give you some time off. We're gonna run some best of. We had 34 amazing weeks in the season. We've compiled some of our favorite battles to highlight over the next couple of weeks. We also have a lot of new viewers.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we're up 5,000% since the season started.
Oh yeah.
In terms of viewership, so there's a lot of people who didn't see what we were doing back in week 2, week 4, everything like that. Don't worry, we got you covered. We're gonna be airing some of the best battles this season that you might have missed. But until next time, I'm Pat Barker.
I'm Brian Moses.
You got anything you want to plug?
Every Tuesday on our YouTube channel, it's this show right here, RBL Weekly. Every Thursday, it's a full brand new episode of Roast Battle at the Mothership, or wherever we deem we're doing Roast Battle League at.
If you are not subscribed to this channel, please, what the fuck, what are you doing? Make sure you click that subscribe button. We have new content coming all the time. The podcast, follow me at RBL Commish on Instagram. That's where we will be posting all the updates, including the league MVP, which will be coming soon. You can find it out exclusively at RBL Commish on Instagram. Been a hell of a season. I'm excited for what's next. See you guys next week.
Let's roast!